Chapter 12. Asperia System, Mandeville Point. The void, usually so black and empty, was crowded with cataclysm. Colossal fragments of planetary rock tumbled through the darkness, smashing into and through one another. Shard storms of hull-punching regolith blossomed from such collisions, showering the tightening spaces between the gargantuan chunks of shattered planetoids with death. This was the edge of the Asperia system, for Asperia was no more. An astro-telepathic distress call had drawn Marshal Beaumont's small Crusader fleet to a Spira from the Vulpius region. The Black Templar's Vulpius Crusade had been in the Wheeled Worlds as part of a purgation action against the Nullia. The Adeptus Astartes had been the punch needed to break the Xenos, and had acted in support of a flotilla of Imperial Navy vessels under Commodore de Pras, whose orbital bombardments had failed to obliterate the Nullia from the surface of the wooded backwater moons. Asperia had been a large Imperial mining world that dominated the system. Now in its place sat the ugly attack moon of which the astro-telepathic distress call had warned. The abominable thing bristled with gargantuan weaponry and fluxed with field shielding that routinely seemed to short and crackle away before returning with a blinding flash. Part of the monstrous moon was missing, perhaps the victim of a former planetary collision or malfunctioning weapon. In its place was a ramshackle framework of rusted girders and scaffolding, revealing the horrors of the planetoid interior. Fleet bays and an internal anchorage for a barbarian armada of greenskin cruisers, attack ships, and scrapclads. Tearing the mine-riddled Asperia to rubble with its great gravitic weaponry, the attack moon, like a spider's nest disgorging its young, streamed gunships, capsules, and rocks at the surviving worlds of the system. What the bombardment of planetary debris didn't destroy, the swarms of delivered greenskins swiftly decimated. By the time the combination Black Templar and Imperial Navy fleet arrived, there was nothing but the enemy left. Marshal Beaumont's gauntlets dug into the arms of his pulpit throne. It was not fear or concern for his safety that prompted his tightening grip, despite the tremors that felt their way through the battle barge's superstructure and the command deck. It was anger. It was hatred. As the Black Templar's battle barge, Abhorrence, banked as sharply as its blunt prow and length would allow, a gargantuan piece of Asperia tumbled by. Castellan Clermont, the battle barge's commanding officer, had ordered the evasive manoeuvre. Never one to miss an opportunity to smite the Xenos enemy, Clermont bawled at the bondsmen on the bridge to smash the battle barge straight through a ragged vanguard line of orc ramships and boarding hulks. Beaumont had allowed himself a moment of satisfaction with the Castellan's strategy, imagining the Xenos' surprise at the vessel they were intending to ram, turning and crashing clean back through them. As the Abhorrence banked about the obstacle, however, with green-skinned junkers detonating against the battle barge's void shields, the bridge lancet screen revealed the Xenos attack moon. Beaumont felt bile climb the back of his throat. Like the tug of tiny threads in the muscles of his face, his mouth formed an involuntary snarl. Beaumont had fought the Greenskins many times before. Gilliac 316, Horner's World, Gamma Forsk, Dracoria. It had been on Dracoria that a feral Greenskin shaman had taken his eye. With its unnatural powers, the creature had set everything around it alight, but Beaumont had strewn through the strange flames, using his hatred of the thing as his compass. The Marshal had slain its chieftain and thousands of its depraved tribe kin, and had promised himself that the witch would suffer the same fate. With his blade encrusted with greenskin gore, the Marshal had charged through the inferno. The weird creature had saved a little of itself for the encounter, however, and had called upon its sorcery to bathe Beaumont in a blazing stream so powerful and intense that it all but scorched the ceramite plate from his body. Dropping his sword and holding an outstretched gauntlet before his disintegrating helm, Beaumont had managed to save an eye and part of his face. With much of his roasted armour falling from his burnt flesh in a cloud of cinders, and his hair still alight, the Black Templar had stomped through his agony and on towards the despised alien. Grabbing the spent monster, he had beaten the greenskin to death with his sizzling fists. As he beheld the attack moon with his one good eye, Beaumont felt the soul-scalding hatred he had felt for the green plague of Dracoria resurface. He knew he was in the presence of something alien, unnatural, and abominable, something well-deserving of its end, deserving of Dawn's cold wrath and the instruments of his zealous fury, the Black Templars. As the abhorrence resumed its course and the planetary decimation of the Aspiria mining world began to clear, the derelict madness of the greenskin fleet came into focus. Between the battle barge and the orc attack moon lay a blizzard of vagabond vessels. Jury-rigged derelicts, drifting cannon platforms, rocketing void scrap, ungainly experiments in sublight engineering and death. Beaumont's teeth gleamed from within his widening snarl. The Marshal would not only be at peace, standing in his battle plate beneath the surface of the moon, slaughtering its denizens. Between him and that purity of purpose lay a small armada of inconvenience.
Castellan, the Marshal called. Order the Umbra to pull back.
Beaumont had noticed that the strike cruiser had drawn ahead of the abhorrence.
Commander Goodwin wants to be let off the leash, Clermont observed.
I sympathize, Beaumont growled. You can tell him that Rogel Dawn himself blesses this action.
Beaumont turned in his pulpit throne and looked up for confirmation at Chaplain Aldemar. The chaplain didn't return his marshal's gaze. With his Cenobite slaves clutching chapter relics about him and his face hidden behind the featureless faceplate of his crusader helmet, Aldemar merely nodded slowly.
Abhorrence, however, has the honour of leading the charge, Beaumont continued. Order Soliditas and Sword of Sigismund to take station on our flanks. The Ebon and Bona Fide are to support the Umbra in protecting our ships on the approach. All vessels to fall behind the battle barge and benefit from the protection of our forward shields. The enemy are many and will hit us hard, but we will endure. Like a bolt round through their miserable scraps of armour, we will punch through their assemblage of hulks and junkers.
As bridge serfs fell to relaying Beaumont's orders, Castellan Clermont asked,
And what orders for Commodore de Pras, Marshal?
Tell the Commodore to have his captains form a line of battle behind us, Beaumont commanded. His ships may fire as they bear. We shall take them through the Greenskin Armada, where we will need the big guns of his capital ships to support the abhorrence in cracking that abominate moon open. Meanwhile, the Black Templars shall bring havoc to the Xenos wretches hiding within.
Relaying now, Marshal, Clermont said.
Freighter Astro Technicus, Bowman called.
Techmarine Kant was standing amongst a nest of bondsmen and bridge servitors, monitoring the Engineerium rune banks.
Yes, Marshal,
Kant replied, without moving his stapled lips. His voice boomed from voxhalers set in the sides of his muscular neck.
Forward void shield power to full, Beaumont growled. Nothing gets through, Brother Kant.
Affirmative, Marshal.
Beaumont jabbed a vox stub in the arm of his pulpit throne with a ceramite digit.
Captain Ulbrecht, this is the Marshal. You're authorized to board Thunderhawks and assault ships in preparation for void insertion. I will join you on the final approach.
I would expect nothing less, Marshal,
Ulbricht voxed back from the launch bays,
as the Xenos will receive nothing less than annihilation, ardent and absolute.
Very good, Captain, Beaumont said. Stand by for the order to launch. Accelerate to ramming speed,
the Marshal added to his bridge crew as the abhorrence plunged towards the enemy ship swarm. Both Space Marine and Bondsman felt the sudden change in velocity shudder through the decking as the battle barge's mighty drives pushed them onwards into the oncoming greenskin barrage.
Crusader cruisers and frigates accelerating in line with new speed and heading, a bridge bondsman announced.
Marshal, Clermont called,
We appear to have a problem.
Report.
We've lost Vox contact with the Commodore's flagship.
Lost contact?
Beaumont rumbled.
Is the Magnificat under attack?
The battleship is yet to engage, Clermont said.
Can't?
Nothing on Augustream or binary frequencies, the Tech Marine reported with metallic reverb. The Navy vessels are slowing, Marshal.
The Preservatario? The Falciax? The Thunderfall?
Static, my lord, the Castellan said.
Try the destroyers and the heavy escorts, the Marshal barked. What the hell is he doing?
Only the cruiser Aquilon is keeping pace with our approach, Marshal, Clermont reported, after failing to contact the smaller commands. Captain Grenfell, my lord.
Kent? Could this be the Xenos? Their technology overwhelming our communications?
Arrays and transmitters are returning both trace waves and background radiation, the Tech Marine returned. Vox transmissions between the battle barge and Crusader vessels are unaffected.
My lord!
The Barbican bondsman, who had been stationed by the bridge doors, presented himself, pulling back his hood.
What is it?
I realize that it's irregular, Marshal, the bondsman said, but the battle barge Astropath craves a moment of your time. He asks for permission to enter the command deck.
Does he not know we're about to enter into battle?
Beaumont seethed. The Black Templar was furious enough with Commodore de Prass. A detested audience with one of the only psyker breeds allowed on board the ship would probably drive the Marshal over the edge.
I would ordinarily forbid it, my lord, the bondsman said, not wishing to attract the Marshal's ire. But he insisted it was important, something about the communications issue.
Beaumont looked from the bondsman to Clermont, then from the Castellan to Chaplain Aldemar. The chaplain nodded slowly and solemnly.
Admit him, the Marshal said.
Master Isericor, the Barbican bondsman announced.
Isericor shuffled onto the bridge, his staff tapping before him across the unfamiliar command deck. He bowed and drew back his hood. Blinders, like those found on livestock, partially hid the ragged holes where the Astropath's eyes used to be.
You have intelligence for me? Beaumont snarled.
I have just intercepted a message, my lord,
Isericor said with deferent enthusiasm.
A communique of such import that I risk your displeasure, Marshal.
Speak,
Beaumont said with difficulty.
What know you of our communication difficulties?
Commodore de Prass has just received new orders from Terra, my lord, the Psyker said. Commandments that supersede your own.
What new orders?
Castellan Clermont demanded.
The Commodore is ordered to take his flotilla to a Navy rendezvous point in the Glaucasian Gulf as soon as possible.
Whose authority is carried by this communique?
Beaumont asked.
The message bears the telesignature of Tigas Euralia, astrotelepath to Lord High Admiral Lansung himself.
They're playing for time, Clermont said.
They don't know what to do for the best. Disobey an order or offend the Adeptus Astartes.
Marshal Beaumont suddenly took to his feet, prompting even the blind Isericor to step back.
Send a telepathic communique to the chief astropath aboard the Magnificat,
Beaumont said, his voice low and furious.
Tell him that I want an explanation from his master presently, or I am coming over to the flagship myself.
Marshal,
the Castellan started.
Do it!
Beaumont bellowed, causing the astropath to jump.
As you command, Isericor replied.
The enemy lines, Tech Marine Kant announced. Brace for impact. While the bondsmen and servitors reached out for handles and restraints, the Black Templars rode out the tremor, the magnetic soles of their boots keeping them in place. The forward void shields flashed and flared with a storm of impacts. First came a short-range wave of torpedoes, kamikaze bombcraft and macro cannon blasts. This onslaught was followed by beak-proud gunships and ramming hulks that would have delivered their brute cargoes of boarding orcs if they hadn't been detonated against the intensity of the battle barge's void shields. As the abhorrence ploughed on through the crude belligerence of greenskin engineering and weaponry, the aggression and monstrous bulk of the opposing vessels increased, with cruisers and gun hulks manoeuvring into the battle barge's irresistible path.
Marshal,
Clermont called, as an obscenity masquerading as a battlecruiser drifted a rusted broadside before the Black Templar's battle barge. Beaumont nodded.
"Explain it to these savages," the Marshal sneered.
Clermont jabbed his gauntlet at several bridge bondsmen.
"Ready, bombardment cannon.
Weapon standing by, Castellan.
Fire!"
The battle barge bucked as its dorsal cannon fired, sending a magma bomb warhead streaking ahead of the prow. As it struck the Orc battlecruiser, a searing explosion rippled through the reinforced scrap of the derelict's side. The mountain of salvage broke away in two sections, between which the abhorrence charged on.
"Is it done?"
Beaumont demanded.
"It is, my lord,"
the battle barge's astropath answered. Moments passed. Wreckage drifted clear of the lancet screens. Explosions flashed and rumbled before the void shields. Greenskin gunships drew in with their puncture prows and grapnels, like predators of the deep.
"Fox transmission from the Magnificat, Marshal."
A bondsman broke the silence on the bridge.
"Flag Lieutenant Esther."
Clermont saw the flutter of cold fury pass across his marshal's grizzled features.
"Put the flag lieutenant on the loud hailer,"
Beaumont commanded. After a brief burst of static, a patrician voice cut across the command deck.
"Am I addressing Marshal Beaumont?"
"The question, flag lieutenant," Beaumont rumbled, "is why on Terra aren't I addressing your Commodore?"
"Commodore de Prasse is currently indisposed, Marshal," the flag lieutenant explained with silky authority. "Please accept his humble apologies."
"I am waging war against the Xenos as we speak," Beaumont told him. "Yet I am still in contact with force contingents, as protocols dictate."
"Again, Marshal, please accept my apologies."
"Damnation take your apologies," Beaumont boomed. "You think it prudent to lie to an Adeptus Astartes?"
The vox stream went silent. There was no protocol for this.
"This is the heat of battle, Lieutenant. We do not have time for anything other than the truth. Cold and swift. Think before you answer. I hold all of the Emperor's subjects accountable for their actions and inaction. Have no doubt, for the Black Templars, the latter is the graver offence."
Lieutenant Esther seemed to take a moment. Perhaps he was considering his future in the Imperial Navy. Perhaps he was simply considering his future. Perhaps he was conferring with a peer or superior.
"We have received a recall, Marshal," Esther told him, the truth uneasy on his lips. "The Lord High Admiral himself requires the Commodore and his flotilla at a rendezvous above Lepidus Prime. We have no choice. It's of a million-level order."
"And I'm not suggesting you don't follow it, Lieutenant," Beaumont said. "Attend your rendezvous. Haul off to Lepidus Prime just after the completion of this action, when victory is in our grasp and the enemy threat eradicated."
Static. Silence.
"Lieutenant, this is Castellan Clermont. We need Magnificat's heavy guns. We need the Preservatario and Falciax. We need the Thunderfall's lances. We cannot crack the Xenos attack moon without them. We can't do it."
"My lords," Flag Lieutenant Esther came back, "I suspect there is little that the Adeptus Astartes cannot do."
"Then you know how much it pains a son of Dawn to admit as much," Clermont retorted. "Your vermilion-level order no doubt concerns manoeuvres reacting to this new enemy threat."
"The threat is here, Esther," Beaumont said. "Why pull cordwards when we can end these mongrel breeds here on the Segmentum Rim?"
"I'm sorry, Marshal," Esther said finally. "I really am. We all have our orders. Commodore de Prasse intends to follow his."
"Magnificat out."
"Esther!"
Marshal Beaumont roared. His anger echoed about the cavernous command deck.
"He's gone," a bondsman informed him. "Foxlink broken from their end. The Magnificat is hauling off."
"Open channel," Clermont ordered. "All frequency. Captains and commanders, this is the battle barge Abhorrence requesting fire support, coordinates 3, 56, 52. We are under attack. We are invoking section 427 of the Vortengello-Heydrich Proclamation signed by Marshal Grichter and Grand Admiral Hadrian Oakes-Martin during the Auriga Wars. This is Abhorrence.
requesting fire support.
Clermont waited. About the battle barge, turrets cut through the boarding rocks and breaching capsules. Broadsides crashed through terror ships and gun hulks. A sea of wreckage and void mines tested the battle barge's forward shields, with the Abhorrence's prow forced to crash through the crowded chaos.
Preservatorio, hauling off, sir, a bondsman announced. Thunderfall, hauling off. Falkiax, hauling off.
Clermont looked to his marshal. Beaumont had slammed his armoured form back into his pulpit throne.
Marshal, the Castellan said, without the Magnificat or the Commodore's cruisers, we cannot hope to damage the Xenos abomination. Oligarch Constantius, hauling off, the bondsman droned. Ministering Angel, hauling off. Morning Star, hauling off. Tiberius Rex, hauling off. Marshal.
Who's still with us?
Beaumont murmured.
Marshal.
With which vessels do we keep attendance, Castellan?
The Marshal insisted. After conferring with the bridge bondsman, Clermont said,
The Aquilon, Dictator-class cruiser, Captain Grenfell. The Firebrand, Lancet-class corvette, Commander Ullanti. Neither vessel fields lance decks.
Beaumont clasped the arms of his throne with both gauntlets. The alloy of the pulpit seat creaked beneath the pressure. His good eye was set in an unswerving gaze on the enemy attack moon. The marshal's face was bathed in red as emergency lamps and alarms erupted across the command deck.
Cant,
Castellan Clermont called, but before the Tech Marine could confirm the threat, several greenskin vessels gunning down on the battle barge formed a train of explosions. One after another, drawing closer and closer to the Abhorrence, the Junkers detonated. The train of destruction ended with the Sodalitas. One moment the strike cruiser was there. The next, it had been replaced by a streaking implosion of ignited fuel and hallowed wreckage. Its armoured prow and thoraxial gun decks had been smashed straight back through its engine columns and immaterial drives as though an invisible fist had crashed through the vessel. No one on the Abhorrence had seen the atrocity, but every member of the battle barge's crew felt the swell of the explosion ring through the decks.
Starboard evasive,
Clermont called. The battle barge lurched and banked sharply.
Commander Klein of the Bona Fide reports the Sodalitas destroyed,
a bondsman called from where he was clinging to his rune bank.
Confirmed,
the Castellan reported.
Strike cruiser Sodalitas is lost. 41 battle brothers and 216 bonded crew dead, Marshal.
The report struck Beaumont like a physical blow. He turned to Chaplain Aldemar. The chaplain said nothing. He sank slowly to his armoured knees on the command deck and began his murmured obsequies and the sacraments of the fallen.
Cant, I need that,
Clermont began.
Some kind of gravitic weapon,
Cant called back.
Vectored and directional. The planet smasher the attack moon must have used on Asperia. Marshal!
Have all chapter vessels and navy attendants form up behind the battle barge,
Beaumont ordered.
Sir, we are outnumbered.
And what means that to the Black Templars?
The enemy has the advantage,
the Castellan attempted to continue.
You have just summarized the beginning of every worthy battle in which the Black Templars have fought,
Marshal Beaumont declared proudly.
Every worthy battle but Black Templar survived, Marshal,
Clermont replied.
But this will see us all dead before we can scratch them.
Steel yourself, brother, Beaumont said. These thoughts proceed from some cowardly corner of your soul.
No such place exists, my lord.
Well, it must, Castellan Clermont,
Beaumont roared back.
For I hear the suggestion of a retreat in your guarded advisements.
Brothers,
Tech Marine Cant called, but he wasn't calling for reconciliation. A chain of explosions were ripping through the void. Greenskinned salvage clads and gun hulks formed a thunderbolt of sequential detonations, terminating in an assault on the Black Templar's battle barge. Beaumont was thrown from his pulpit throne and Chaplain Aldemar from his devotions. Rune banks, augur stations, and cogitae spat sparks and crackled with overloaded energy. Two chapter bondsmen lay dead, while injuries and malfunctions had been inflicted upon a number of servitors and bridge crew. Smoke
soaked up the bloody menace of the emergency lamps, and klaxons screeched their urgency. The Abhorrence had taken a direct hit from the attack moon's gravitic planet smasher on its intensified forward void shields. Proximity warnings joined the din of alarms on the bridge. Falling away from its surging course into a drunken drift, the battle barge almost collided with the Sword of Sigismund.
"Damage report," Clermont managed,
clawing himself up a console station and back to his feet. A ragged gash ran parallel to the service studs stamped into his forehead. Kant, with his bionic adaptations and extra weight, had been the only unsecured member of the bridge crew not to end up on the deck.
"Data stream struggling to carry reports and diagnostics," Kant said. "So far, I have some structural damage and electrical fires."
Clermont moved between the bondsmen and servitors who had fortunately been buckled into the station seats. He cast his eyes across their flashing rune screens.
17 fatalities reported amongst the crew, the Castellan said. Mainly impact damage. No battle, brothers. Captain Albrecht reports the Thunderhawk's Smite and Purgator's Dawn damaged and battle unworthy. Void shields are down to 22% nominal capacity, Kant said.
Brother,
Clermont urged, turning to Beaumont.
The Abhorrence cannot withstand another hit like that,
Kant added grimly.
Marshal,
the Castellan said, marching forwards, we must withdraw. Beaumont was back on his feet. Despite having fallen, his gaze had barely left the hated attack moon.
It is cowardice,
Beaumont hissed through his teeth.
No more, my lord, Clermont assured him, than when I defer battle to adorn myself with plate and recover my blade and bolter.
Beaumont looked at his Castellan.
These beasts will keep, Clermont told his marshal. We shall return as we have before, in greater number, in greater fervour, with the tools to finish this job.
Asperia is lost. Since translating in system, Master Isericor has received numerous mortis cries, but also requests for aid. The astropath, toppled also, had somehow found his way back to his sandaled feet and his staff. Noticing him, Beaumont's expression resumed its former hostility.
It is true, Marshal, Isericor said. The hive world of Undine is besieged. But then so are the hive worlds of Petropolis and Macromunda. The Gormandiagri worlds are under attack. The Mechanicus invoke ancient treaties and concords. They are losing the twin forge worlds of Incus Maximal and Malleus Mundi to the invader.
Clermont went to interrupt, but the astropath hadn't finished.
The first Quashanid storm troop, the so-called Immortals, are holding the fortress world of Promentor. The penal world of Terpista IV is also holding out longer than expected. Both have requested assistance. Both have proven that they would make excellent hold points. Your brethren of battle and blood, the Fists Exemplar, fight for their fortress monastery and their world, Idolica. The list goes on, my lord.
Clermont and Beaumont locked gazes, Templar to Templar.
The Rimwood sectors call for the Emperor's angels, the Castellan told his marshal. They call for the Black Templars. We have no world to defend. We have crusades. We have only wars and the worlds upon which we choose to wage them. The Green Plague is upon the Segmentum. Isn't there enough of the invader to go around?
Beaumont turned to the chaplain, who was on his knees and at one with his devotions.
Aldemar!
The drone of cult litanies from within the chaplain's helm came to a stop.
Choose, brother,
Aldemar told him. Beaumont of the Black Templars looked to his friend and Castellan.
Order the flotilla to break up, the marshal commanded. Multiple targets will give individual vessels the best chance against that monstrous weapon.
Yes, Marshal. All Crusader contingents to rendezvous at the Mandeville Point. Yes, Marshal. All vessels make preparations for immaterial translation. Yes, Marshal.
Do you have a destination in mind, sir?
Castellan Clermont asked.
Yes,
Marshal Beaumont replied. I do.